Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Morning. Have your way.
Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to touch the theme of the conference. In the last two sessions, we were trying to prepare the ground in order to do this business. And so very properly this morning, we delve into the subject matter of the rise of kingdom legislators. Like I began with us sharing, I told us there are realms in God. Christianity is an invitation to participate in realms, in places, and in life. And so as you begin to interact with the Spirit of God, you realize that He's inexhaustible. You just keep experiencing and experiencing, and it continues forever and ever. As we speak, even the 20 and 4 elders, they are still experiencing God. His ways, the Bible says, are past finding out. And so the true blessing a Christian has are not the things he comes to pick from God. They are actually the depths he is invited to in God. In Psalm 65, verse 4, the Bible said, blessed is the man that the Lord causes to approach him. Can we project that scripture? The true blessings are not the things we get from God. They are actually the places we are permitted to go in God. He said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and caused to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. He said, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temples. So as we begin to press into God, he opens up layers and allows us to experience multifaceted dimensions. And so in this conference, one of the burdens we sustained was to know what it means to stand and to represent God as legislators. And I began by telling us that priesthood is the reason we were created. He said, I've made you a kingdom of priests and of kings. So the kingdom God is raising or creating is one that should be populated only by priests and by kings. And I said, as you are dealing with priesthood, you will discover that priesthood is a world, is a realm of realities. And in order for us to have accurate understanding, before we begin to look deeply into the dimension that we are considering and will be considering even in much detail this morning, I showed us five major dimensions of priesthood. And I said the first dimension of priesthood is to minister to the Lord. And I said ministering to the Lord entails you interacting with the dimension of God and honoring that dimension. He said, separate unto me Aaron and his son, Exodus 28 verse 1 and 2, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. He said in Acts 13 from verse 1 and 2, how that the teachers and prophets that were in Antioch, they fasted and they ministered unto the Lord. And I gave us a graphic illustration of ministering to the Lord in the life of Hannah. He said, there's none holy as the Lord. She was just contemplating God and eulogizing Him, honoring Him, praising Him, and exhorting Him for the dimension she had comprehended. I said, the second dimension of priesthood is to behold Him, because you appreciate His essence, and so you are never tired
of looking upon his countenance. And I said, it's in beholding that we are changed. He said, we all with open faces. When you see people pray and they are not transformed, it's because their prayer is not priesthood. Because cardinal in priesthood is the act of beholding. And if you behold him, you'll be changed. And then I went further. I said, third in the dimension of priesthood is the art of waiting. If a man cannot wait on God, then he has not discerned his majesty. He still assumes God is a friend that he can book an appointment with and is timing him. God is a king. When you come to him, you wait. Moses used 40 days to climb Sinai, and he waited for another 8 days for God to show up. Because the goal is not that you have prayed. The goal is that the presence of God descended and God spoke to you. Because the power of prayer is not what you say, it's what God says to you. What you say is an attempt to hear him say something to you. You are not powerful in prayer because you can say a lot. You are powerful in prayer because you can hear a lot and you can obey a lot. And so it will take perfecting the act of waiting to be able to journey in the corridor of priesthood. And then number four, I said priesthood has to do with participation. Because when you come to a realm long enough, that realm will lend itself to you. And so you begin to touch things that are in that realm. Those things you touch is what gives you the right to address your generation. Because your generation is in need. They are not looking for talkers. They are looking for witnesses. And it is what you have seen and handled that you can deliver to a generation. And so what priesthood will do and insist on is that you must touch something so you become a representative and an embodiment of that dimension. If you have not touched anything, you can't address your generation. You see, that which was from the beginning. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, that is what we have come to commit to you. And I said, when you attain these four levels, then you come to the final realm of priesthood that entails more of prayer. And that realm of priesthood is what we call legislation and litigation. And I said, legislation is the act of enacting spiritual laws and ordinances, while litigation is the act of enforcing spiritual laws and ordinances. So in priesthood, cardinal in your prayer is the ability to create change. Because you have the power through God to establish his dominion and to establish his mandate. Now, it's possible for you to think these things are casual things because you probably have not understood that everywhere humankind find expression, spirits are interested in those realms. Because currently, the earth is the spectacle of all of God's creation. If you have studied the Bible and understanding has been granted you, one thing you will realize is that the Bible says God sits in the cycles of eternity. God is on a project of creation, and creation did not begin with us, neither will it end with us. That's why when you go to heaven, you have elders, you have thrones, you have dominions, you have principalities, you have powers, you have archangels. All kinds of spirits are there because they represent different dispensations of the creations of God. And when God was done, he decided to invade and create a visible realm, and then he created man. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, when this creation is over, God will wrap it away and start another project. But for now, earth and man is God's youngest creation. And so every spirit is interested in earth and man. So anywhere you find men, spirits are interested. And one thing God did was to give man the authority to superintend over his realm. And so if man must live to serve the will of God, then he must learn spiritual intelligence to be able to defend his borders. For example, the responsibility of defending Kenya is not for the United States. The responsibility of defending Kenya is for Kenyans. So if Kenyans don't learn how to build a defense system to defend Kenya, then Kenya will be in trouble. And if Kenya is in trouble, the business will collapse. the schools will collapse. For example, because Ukraine, now with so much compassion, I'm saying this, because Ukraine could not defend their borders from Russia, activities are on a halt. So defenses in the spirit are the most cardinal responsibilities of believers. Because if a territory is not defended, nothing else can work. If your body is attacked with sickness now, you won't be here praising God. Even the food that you think you love, you won't eat. The car you want to drive, you won't drive. The projects you are handling, everything will stop. And so priesthood, particularly legislation and litigation, becomes very important because it is the only basis by which spirits that wants to hijack the agenda of God are stopped. And a corridor is created for God and God alone to have access and the right of way. And so it's important for us as a church to train people and to build them up to learn the art of territorial defense. Because if our ranks are depleted in territorial defense, then the purpose of God will not find expression. And that's not the only problem. The major problem is that demons and devils will take over to fulfill their agenda, and so our existence will become useless. Let me read the scripture for you as I attempt to show you why legislators must rise and who they are and the authority levels they must enter. Because as legislators, there are things we can do, but the things we can do are tied only to our authority level, not what we desire. You may want to see certain things happen. Your desire is not enough. It's your authority that will make it happen. And so we will not only teach people why they must be legislators, we need to teach them what they must do in order to be legislators, to assess the kind of authority that is required to uninstall and to dethrone princes in darkness so that the will of God can find expression. But if you don't know this, you may assume that these things are just fairy tales. But this is how civilizations are shaped. I usually call it spirit cities. Every nation is a spirit city. There are spirits transacting actively in every nation. We were sharing some burdens yesterday that unfortunately are not things you can casually say until you have clearance. How that even bilateral relationship between nations are negotiated based on certain agreements that defy the soul structure of the inhabitants of those nations. There are many nations in Africa today that have certain kinds of visas to other Western nations only if they agree to certain demands. And you'll be shocked that those demands are not economic demands. That they can give a country the right to access certain kinds of visa for certain period of time because they accept gay, because they accept LGBTQ. How does LGBTQ impact on economy? So if you don't allow LGBTQ, then your country will not be granted certain number of years for certain visas. How does LGBTQ affect visa? Because they know that the spirit of perversion is the doorway to the Antichrist. And they know that God hates perversion. If you study the Bible, anytime there's perversion, God destroys completely. When angels slept with the daughters of men, God told Noah to build an ark quickly. He destroyed the whole earth. Because the moment perversion comes, the ordinances of God can never stand. The reason God told King Saul to destroy all the Amalekites is because the race of the giants came out of perversion. And so anywhere God sees perversion, he destroys completely. The reason Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed is because God saw perversion. And then today, they come to a country and tell the country, we will give you certain kinds of visas if you allow LGBTQ, because LGBTQ is perversion. In fact, recently, because I began to attack the LGBTQ movement, Facebook began to mute my videos so that my videos can no longer have views. In some countries, they off it. No matter what you do, your views can no longer grow. They mute it. So even the systems that we use have been infiltrated by demons. You now discover they want to kill your visibility because you are beginning to attack sensitive things. And somebody else is deceived, thinking that I feel like a woman. A man says, I feel like a woman. He doesn't know that spirits are involved in manipulating his emotion. Because the more perversion takes place, the more the door opens for evil, iniquity, and darkness to enter a city. They are enthroning principalities. And so, legislators need to look into these things and begin to raise utterances in the spirit that will shut it down. That kind of Christianity is not the regular Sunday service. That kind of Christianity is a calling for few people that understands divine agenda. Because those ones are warriors. They are not necessarily coming to God for excitement. They are fighting to defend the heritage of God. And these are demonic intelligences that shape a city. And if it is allowed, you'll be shocked that the next 10 years and the next 15 years, our world will be completely different. The level of maliciousness, the level of violence, the level of callousness will be different. Because something would have gone wrong with the soul of a man, which is the monitor of morality and his walk with God. Even this current World Cup, they had to force the FIFA president to make a statement that included LGBTQ. And one of the board members that was speaking on behalf of FIFA clearly identified himself as a member of LGBTQ. There are many companies today in the world that will not be given certain level of clearance for certain businesses unless their board members, at least one or two, are LGBTQ members. And then you now begin to wonder, what are they looking for? Most of the Western countries today, if you enter there, they give the LGBTQ all the right to speak their mind and to propagate their vision. But you, who is a Christian, if you propagate your own vision, you are prosecuted. So what kind of justice is this that allows certain people to air their own opinion, whereas you cannot air yours? You now know that princes are at work over time, and believers are not aware that iniquity is coming that can uproot the dimensions of God that a generation should host in the next 10 years. And so we come to church where we are looking for his prophecy. Out that there's a new job, there's a breakthrough. You know that we are not growing. Because what the devil is doing now, in the next 10 years, it may become difficult to pray. Because when evil sanitizes the environment, darkness chokes the atmosphere. You need to be strong in the Lord to be able to pierce through the cloud. And if they choke the atmosphere with darkness, they now have authority to shape the city according to their own nature. Because every city reflects the nature of the dominating spirit. And it's a definite technology. So when Paul was teaching the church in Ephesus, and if you study the writings of Paul, some of the deepest mysteries that Paul shared, he shared with the church in Ephesus and the church in Colossae. And it was in the church in Ephesus that Paul began to tell them, in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, I wanted to enter yesterday, but I didn't have sufficient utterance. You know, this thing, sometimes you will come, you want to talk, God will shut it. Either because the people can't receive it, or because the angels that should defend you when you talk, they were not released. If you talk, you'll be at risk. You can. Okay, I will affect somebody's theology. Let me leave. You know, when we are teaching in public, there are some things we say that is consistent with doctrine. You know, doctrine is a belief system, and doctrine is designed so that even babes can be included. But when you start traveling with God, you will know that some things are organic. They are deeper than doctrine. You can't explain them. Because there's no doctrine now that can explain how the witch of Endor was able to summon the spirit of Samuel to come and tell Saul that he will die the next day, and he died. There's no doctrine. I can show you many things in scripture that are not trapped in doctrine. Many things. But those ones, they are for those who participate in the game of thrones. So when you come up hither, they will show you those ones. Because those are the secrets. You know, there are many things that they write in your constitution. Everybody is carrying the constitution and arguing. But the reason Kenya is safe are some things that we never highlight in the constitution, but you do. If you go to Western countries today, you know what they do? Some of the programmers that are thieves, criminals, hackers, when they see that you are able to hack into some database, they know that intelligence, they can't waste it. So they don't lock those kind of people. They get them, they recruit them, and turn them to secret service agents. If you are able to sit with one computer and hack into a database, it means you are a gift to that nation. You are not a thief. They will carry you and reprogram your mind. Meanwhile, in the law, if you hack, you will be sentenced to death. There are some things that are they are legislative realities to help defend. There are some kind of actions they take behind the scene to deal with terrorists that is not in the book. But if you don't take that action, terrorism will take over the world. So when they are dealing with the book, they are showing you what you say is, okay, it's alright, you can handle people like this. But the terrorists, they know that they are too hardened, that the things written in the book can't break them. So when they want to deal with them, they off the cameras and do some of the things that are not in the book to be able to save the city. It's called legislation. Are we together? And so spirits are involved, and these spirits are vicious beings. Because they are vicious, there is a training syllabus that God makes available for those who He raises to fight them. In some of those syllabus, I want to read to you tonight and teach you so that you will know how to war, where princes fight. Because not every believer stands there. And this is why we are not the same. There are those who are fighting. That's why the church can still have Sunday service. If they stop fighting, Sunday service will stop. In Colossians 4:12, he says, Epaphras is one of you. But see, the problem is, the difference is that he is a born servant. You are the child of God, but there are some who are servants. And they are not just servants, they are born servants. That means they don't have their will anymore. Because what God traded with them in order for them to do this work is that they submitted their will. Meanwhile, you need your will to serve God because you are a child. But a born servant will have to transact with God with his will and say, take my will. From now till I die, I don't have a will anymore. Now, it is because of those kinds of people that they are churches. Not because of your pastor's rhema. He said, he labors fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete. You came to church, they preached a message, you were weeping. You say, this pastor is a good teacher. Maybe you need to find out all the people that preached that message. Because the pastor was just the amplifier. The people who downloaded that possibility into the territory, you may never meet them. It's in heaven they will tell you. Because there are many things happening behind the scenes. And so some of the behind the scenes realities are the things we want to teach you. So that when I start talking about what God does in order to have one legislator, it will make sense to you. If not, you will say, he's making Christianity hard. Are we together? So in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul began to enter the deep matters. And he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In verse 12. He now told us four entities that we are fighting with. You think when you quarrel with somebody, it's because you misunderstood yourself. Paul is saying, your battle is not with men. Men are only puppets that spirits use. He said, your battle is number one with principalities. Number two is with powers. Number three is with rulers of darkness. And number four is with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Let me show you something that will shock you very quickly. The word principalities is the word arche. It means first in rank. That means when the devil wants to take a territory, the prince that enters that territory first is the one they call a principality. The job of the principality is recruitment. Because when the principality enters Kenya, it will do a survey and a census. Know how many citizens are in Kenya, because it needs people that have legal right in this territory. So when it's done with the survey, it will now also do a census and group people into the giftings that God has given them. Because we need that gift as a corridor to access their soul. When it's done with that, then he will move, then a power will come. The word power here is the word exousia. But this exousia does not just speak about authority. This exousia speaks about the liberty of choice. When the principality assembles people and creates things that attract them, a power will now come and bind them to those things. Those are the things you call addiction. So an addiction is not a habit. An addiction is a seductive commodity that a power uses to enslave you. And so when you get somebody who is addicted and you want to counsel him, you will have a great job to do if you don't know what to do with the power. Because what is happening to that person is beyond the habit. A spirit is using that thing to access his soul. So long as he continues to fornicate, his soul is open for the spirits to use anytime they want. So long as he continues to lie, his soul is open. But the only thing that they will do to keep the door of the soul open is that a power will have to be there. So the power is the one that forces that person against his will to keep the door of his soul open, so that the devil can deploy his gift to carry out his own agenda. The devil is not the one who gave the gift, but he knows how to harness the gift. So he knows you are a prophet. And if you are connected to God, those giftings can become the basis by which God will traffic through you to affect the city. So what he will do is that he will turn you against God through fornication. And so long as you are addicted to fornication, your heart and your soul is open. That's why Paul, speaking in Ephesians 4:27, he said, give no place to the devil. Because if you give a place to a principality, a power will bind you. And when you are bound, then the third person comes. It's called rulers of darkness. The word rulers is the word cosmos kratos. It means the lords of the realm. Because even among spirits, they are lords. And what these lords do is that they write laws. And so when a man has been successfully bound by a power, the lords will now come and write a law. That law now will become his destiny. Now, before you came, there was a lord of heaven that wrote your destiny. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet, to pull, to uproot, and to establish. Now, that was what the Lord wrote concerning him. But now he came into an ecosystem that is ruled by a spirit. And that spirit is able to access his soul, so that spirit will write another destiny for him. That new destiny is what you call the law that the rulers of darkness write. So a prophet can become a skillful deceiver. Instead of pulling people into the kingdom and delivering them from the pit of hell, the prophet now will begin to pull people into darkness, because now he swindles them of money. If he looks at you, he knows what to tell you to be able to deceive you, because he has the ability to discern your heart posture. And so he is now a Yahoo boy. He's online and he says something. The moment you respond, he suspects what you will say. He thinks he's being smart. He's actually not being smart. He's using the gift of discerning of spirit. He can weigh your spirit and know the next thing you will say. And he will use that ability to guide you into a place where he will successfully deceive you. And he will make $2,000 and say life is good. What is happening now is that a new law has been written to him, so he's fulfilling another destiny. A man who should be a warrior suddenly commit himself to anger, and the ruler comes and write a law and adds pride to that anger. And so he will use that anger and that pride, and in the fit of rage kill somebody. They will now lock him behind bars or a lifetime. The destiny was to become a deliverer, but a new law was written. And what the devils did was that they penetrated his soul and they used the power to addict him until a program was written. That program now makes him to fulfill a destiny that God did not write. And then when you continue with the program for a long time, then spiritual wickedness now shows up. The spiritual wickedness is the word porneria. It means the power for depravity. That's why when you begin, it looks as if he's sweet until he ends up in disgrace and shame. They wrote a law through your lust. You are cheating on your wife. You say you are smart. You are having fun. Until when you cannot stop anymore, you are now caught. You are now disgraced. You no longer have face in society. Or you continue, you now go and contact HIV. And then you die. And because you die, your children also becomes wayward. Meanwhile, that was a program that was written. The moment the program was activated, the god of depravity now shows up. You are younger, you are supposed to be a voice in your nation. But the moment God began to give you small visibility, you now had 7 boyfriends. One gives you money, one satisfies your appetite, another one has a car that drives you around. You say life is good. Until you now end up with abortions and they cut your womb. Now that your womb is cut off, you no longer have the confidence of womanhood. You fall into depression and then you enter into drugs and then that destiny is plundered because depravity has entered. Now when they do this thing at a corporate level, they now take over that atmosphere. That territory now becomes their kingdom. So when we say the kingdom of darkness, it's not necessarily in the water. When we say the kingdom of darkness, it's actually what the spirit in the waters come to achieve among men. So the kingdom of darkness is actually with men. Because there are princes that come from the waters and they plant their reality in men. So the men begin to mirror on earth what is supposed to be in the waters. Are we together? Now, sometimes, in order for these spirits to be able to do this, they will need human agency to help them. And if you think this is a joke, let me show you 2 cities in the Bible that these guys successfully built. The first is called Egypt. If you study Isaiah, which I will not enter this morning, the Bible calls it the spirit of Egypt. That spirit is a spirit that stops you from fulfilling destiny. So when you find people who are suffering from limitations, oppressions, who cannot rise into their destiny, they are under the oppression of the spirit of Egypt. And so when God wanted to deliver Israel, in Exodus chapter 12 verse 12, the Bible said, God said, tonight I will pass through Egypt and I will judge the gods of Egypt. That means Pharaoh was not the ruler of Egypt. The ruler of Egypt is one of these guys that Paul spoke about in Ephesians chapter 6. Until you judge that ruler, Israel cannot be free. That means Egypt is not a location in North Africa. Egypt is actually a location regulated by a spirit called Egypt. And until God was able to judge that spirit, nothing could happen. And then you come to another city called Babylon. And in Daniel chapter 10 from verse 20, when Daniel was praying, Daniel entered into a surprise revelation. And what did Daniel discover? Daniel discovered that the ruler of Babylon was not the king. He thought the king was the ruler. He was praying to God so that the heart of the king would be touched and they would be set free. When he started praying, he was now shocked that there was a prince called the Prince of Persia. It was the Prince of Persia that was dictating everything happening in Babylon. And he was surprised to know that these princes had allocated times and seasons to themselves. So much so that the Bible said, when the Prince of Persia is gone, he said, the Prince of Grecia will come. Do you see why Paul said, we wrestle against principalities and powers rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. Because when one finishes his regime, he steps aside for another to come in. And while they are doing that in the heavenlies, they recruit agents on earth that they use. The agents they use on earth are the agents that helps to bring spiritual administrations of what is happening in the heavens into the earth realm. Because they will need to mingle with men. And so when they isolate the people that have ordinations and destinies of rulership over men, they now pervert their soul and use them to become the guardians that will translate their purposes into the human ecosystem. And so in Egypt, why you hear of the gods of Egypt, there are also men called the wise men of Egypt. And so in Exodus chapter 7 verse 11, the moment Moses came to Pharaoh, it was the wise men Pharaoh summoned. That means the power of Pharaoh is not with Pharaoh. The power of Pharaoh is with the wise men. Pharaoh can sit there as a puppet controlling the city. The moment Pharaoh notices that another spirit sends his own agents, Pharaoh will know immediately that he doesn't have what it takes to confront the messenger of another spirit. So Pharaoh will have to summon the true rulers of Egypt, which are the messengers of those spirits, to come and contend with Moses. And so when Moses showed up and did something that was supernatural, Pharaoh immediately stepped aside and called the wise men and the magicians. And the magicians were the ones contending with Moses. The day Pharaoh was broken was the day the magician came to him and said, "This thing is greater than us. This is the finger of God." The moment the physical agents said they were overcome, Pharaoh stepped aside. He said, "This is the finger of God. We have checked that this God doing this thing is stronger than the God that we are serving. So the best thing we need to do to keep our lives is to surrender, because this man is a messenger of a God superior to our own God. This is the finger of God." That was when emancipation came to Egypt. And the same thing happened in Babylon. If you study Daniel chapter 1 verse 19, when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were brought forth, the king began to compare their strength with the strength of the messengers of the God of Babylon. And the Bible said, of all that the king demanded of them, he said Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than the magicians and the astrologers. And so every territory you enter, there are spiritual entities that are lords over that territory, and there are human agencies that transmit the agenda of those spirits. This is why evangelism is not enough to bring salvation. Before evangelism can be productive, intercession must first of all be fruitful. Evangelism is born out of intercession, because the fornicator, the liar, the corrupt leader, the thief is not just doing it because he loves it. That lust was in him, but the prince, in collaboration with the messengers, were the ones that made that thing become his lifestyle. And so before you deal with that person, you must first of all interact with the forces in the spirit. If not, whatever you tell that person, he may weep when you are done talking. Tomorrow he will go back, because what he's doing is a law he's obeying. And this is why I told you, legislators make laws. Until new laws are written over territories, there will be no deliverance. Now, when Jesus sent out the 70, they came back to him and they were rejoicing. In Luke chapter 10, the devils are subject to us. And Jesus looked at them and said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I did the battle in the heavenlies before I sent you as messengers on the earth." And so if there is no contention in the heavenly, and if there is no making of warriors on ground, every other activity on earth will not produce results. The activity on earth is productive because there are engagements in the heavenlies, And there are functionaries on earth who are able to download what is happening in the spirit and make it laws over the city. When those laws are written, even a baby can begin to cast out devils. Even a young prophet can suddenly begin to talk to 10,000 people. That's what you call revival. But what you call revival is actually a product of spiritual litigation in the spirit that opened the atmosphere and unseated the wicked spirits that were lost over those lands. And so tonight, what God wants to teach us is how to make the functionaries that know how to cooperate with Him in order to bring His corporate agenda over a territory. If God is able to raise 12 of such people from this meeting, in 1 year, something will happen in Kenya. Such people are not many, but they are the ones that bring deliverance to territories. For Egypt, there was only Moses. For Babylon, there was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so sometimes you can come to a whole territory, there are three. What I'm about to teach you this morning, some of you, it may come to you as a body. Some of you may be wowed by the intelligence. Some of you may enjoy it. But many times, those who become it are not up to a handful. And it takes a lot to become it. It takes a lot. That's why many never become it. 99.something% Christians only enjoy the benevolence of God. It's only few that stand with God to fight. And this kind of people I'm talking about, when Jesus returns for the battle of Armageddon, they are the ones who will fight with Him on the last day. Because when Jesus returns, some of the saints who are still alive, the Bible said they will join Him in heaven. And those who have gone to participate in the feast of the Lamb, He said they will descend with Him. Those are the 10,000 saints that Moses was talking about. He said, I saw the Holy One descending from the mountain of Paran with 10,000 saints. That means of the whole human race, it's only 10,000 that came out of it. Our own generation alone, our world is over 7.79 billion people. Imagine all the generations that have existed. You collate all of them together, all God found was 10,000. That means in this generation, those who can become this may not be up to 10. Because if every generation produced 10, it will be more than 10,000. Are we together? And so when you come into a city, the quality of Christianity you see there and the atmosphere you can touch there is a product of the operations of the legislators. Because in darkness, the way you saw the wise men of Egypt who controlled the spiritual atmosphere of Egypt, that's how you will find legislators also in any city where God is Lord, controlling the spiritual atmosphere. Every spiritual atmosphere is doctored. In the negative supernatural, like I told you yesterday, you have messengers who are the ones they send, who are slaves of their appetites. So they use their appetites to enslave them. If the young lady needs to change her hair, she will need to go and stand on the street. So because of hair, she is willing to fornicate. And then the other young man is tired from work, and then he needs to satisfy his appetite, and then he goes to pick the young lady. So is they are messengers living for appetites. So these ones are like animals in the spirit realm. They are the ones spirits ride like donkeys, because they are slaves of their appetite. But there are other important functionaries. As you begin to grow, you now find those they call witches and wizards. A witch and a wizard is not a slave of his appetite. A witch and a wizard have mastered appetites. So the spirit send them with different messages. What a witch does is to cast spells and to chant incantations. And so the reason you find harlots is because there was somebody in that city who went about and chanted spells over that city. In fact, The sons of the bondwoman, they are experts in this operation. When they come into your country or come into your city, the Christian is looking for a job in the oil company. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we need men everywhere. But you know what they do? When they come, they become shoe shiners. They become truck pushers. Because what they want to do is to map the city. And so as they are pushing the truck around the city, they are talking. They are chanting incantation. They are chanting incantation. Before the moon rises, they speak to the moon. And so the rays that come from the moon over that city, it's not just light. The rays that come into that city translate their spells. It's called astrology. Because the princes they are working with have the power to tame the constellation. When it's called the god of this world, it's not a synonym. It's not a figure of speech. When he called him the god of this world, it means now he has the power to manipulate creation. This is why the Bible said creation is in bondage. So when the moon rises, instead of the moon bringing light, the moon also is compelled to transmit spells. And so why the prince in the heavenly is controlling the moon, he needs a witch on earth who will cast those spells into the atmosphere. So when the moon is rising, the moon will be forced to carry that spell. And so when you are walking under the ray of the moon at night, if you don't have a covering, that spell will come on you. This is why at night, suddenly, people want to go to club. They don't know that when the moon rose, it rose with an enchantment. That enchantment is what triggers that appetite. This is why many times you find most men, they want to drink alcohol in the evening. They don't even know what is happening. But the moment it's evening, an appetite is awoken. Because what the witches spoke into the atmosphere is that the night will be a period where that appetite will be awoken. And so because that man is not deep in God, the rays of the sun will darken him. If you study Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 6, he said, look not upon me because I'm black. He said, the sun has looked upon me. And so these guys know, before it is 1 a.m., between 11:50, they begin to chant. Because the morning breaks after twilight. And so they will not allow 12 midnight to pass without sending an errand into the next day. And so what the astrologers do, or the witches do, is that at night, while you are sleeping, and you are saying, he giveth his beloved sleep, they are standing. Because they want to reprogram the next day. The God of the spirit realm, of the earth, he will send the rays, but you need to send the curses. You need to send the enchantment. You need to send all of the incantation. And so the job of the witch is to make sure that midnight does not pass until he has sent the program. And so while you are sleeping and snoring, somebody is standing at every gate of Kenya. And he's there every day at 11 p.m. He will never miss it. As he's there, he finished speaking. The moment the day crosses over, the sun carries that errand. Because the sun now is a slave. He said creation is in bondage, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the only people who can cancel that program are the legislators that are also not asleep. So while the witch is talking, they are talking. While the witch is talking, they are countering. And so it becomes a battle of thrones. And so everything the witch says, they cancel it. And so when the God of this world looks upon the sun, there will be no enchantment that the sun will bring to the people. Then deliverance can begin to come to that city. And so they have messengers that are compelled by their appetite to dominate a city with iniquity. And then they have witches that cast spells and enchantments and incantation. And then they have what you call the warlocks. The warlocks are superior to the witches. The warlocks are the ones that supervise what the witches are doing. And so if a witch is supposed to cast a spell that will bring fear into the people dressing, living in Mombasa, the warlock will be checking every week to make sure that the spell is working. If the witch is to cast spell to make sure that families break. The warlocks will be working to check that families are actually breaking. And so if the warlock moves around and there's no news of divorce for 3 months, he knows something is wrong with the program. So it is the warlock that reports to the sage that this program is no longer working. So they need a superior intelligence. Maybe the intelligence they were using before to create divorce is immorality. And they now see that divorce is no longer happening because another intercessor came and locked his knee on the ground and began to fight immorality. And so a point comes, he pushes the spirit of immorality backward. Because he pushes that spirit away, divorce begins to reduce. They now know that, okay, there's something wrong with the program of immorality. So they will come with another program of drunkenness. If the program of drunkenness does not work, they will now go and create another program of immigration. You will now notice that in a particular month, everybody wants to come on holiday to Kenya. You will think, the economy is booming. Tourists are coming. Who told you they are tourists? People don't know the intelligence of spirit cities. Who is a tourist? They notice that immorality has gone down. Drunkenness is not working because the moment they create a new law, a new legislator rises. If they create a new law, a new legislator rises, shutting every gate they want to open. And so they will keep opening gates. When the tourists come, the men will now discover that these people's skin are different color. Their body shape is different. So something will happen again. If legislators don't rise, then the activity of darkness will be growing. And the job of the warlock is to give situation report that this thing is happening. If it's not happening, the warlock is stronger than the witch. The warlock does not need the sun. The warlock can come and stand in the city center and say something and emit an energy because he is more powerful. He doesn't need something to help his utterance. He can translate his utterance because he's a master of spells. And then after the warlock, you have what is called the sage. The sage is the one that imparts the warlock. The sage is the one that trains the warlock. I gave you an instance of Melin yesterday. Hope you noticed that Gaius was a sorcerer of the old religion. But when they purged sorcery, he now decided to hide and he became a doctor. Now, when Melin had his gift, he needed a sage to train him. Because he had a gift, but he couldn't master it. He didn't know what to do. So, the mother had to send him to Gaius. And so, when he came to Gaius, and Gaius discovered that he had that gift. Because this one is not for everybody, it's for the gifted ones. Gaius began to give him books to read. Read this book, you will learn how to cast this kind of spell. You will learn how to cast this kind of spell. You will learn. Gaius trained him until his potentials now became greater. Because when Gaius dies, he will become the next sage. For that city to stand, walking by the power of darkness, you will need a sage. You will need a warlock. You will need a witch and you will need messengers. There is a very rigid training syllabus for these people. But tonight, my job is not to teach you how to become a witch. So I will teach you. I'm not one myself. I will teach you the opposite, which is the warriors in light. Because the same way you have a witch, a messenger, a witch, a warlock, and a sage, in light, in the college of intercession, you have an intercessor, you have a watcher, you have a guardian, you have a custodian, and then you have a judge. If a city will be preserved, we too must raise wise men. And so, like I said, these are the people that make the city. They are the architects of a city. But this kind of growth will put laws over your soul. Because the whole idea is to fine-tune your soul to be able to traffic frequencies of the Spirit of God. The same way the witch must be trained to be able to pick the signals of the Spirit, you too must be trained And so those who walk here, they walk with God all their lives. You may not have the luxury of being a football fan. You don't know why the devil is bringing everything he's bringing. Some of our intercessors, who should have grown by now to become judges, they spent the last 7 years arguing Messi and Ronaldo. Because they checked the lust of their soul. They knew that was what got their attention. And so they kept arguing. In fact, at some point where they were supposed to have an encounter to bring them to the altar, they now won a lottery to go what's the stadium's name now? To Barcelona Stadium, Camp Nou. So they were excited. They traveled to Spain and they snapped in Camp Nou and came back and enlarged it and kept. When they are supposed to have an encounter, they open another door. The next time they will go to Madrid and they will snap with Ronaldo. And they will keep that picture for a lifetime. So instead of beholding God, they will be beholding the picture. But you see, in darkness, they know the laws. You will never find a witch worldly. You will never find a witch who is carried away by fashion. His cap is Gucci. His chain is Gucci. His suit is Gucci. His shoe is Gucci. No witch has that time. Because the noise of the world will affect their transmission. This is why most of them hide in the bush. It's not because they are supposed to live in the bush. It's a testimony of separation. That is the price they pay. They cannot live among men. Men are too distracted and noisy. And so the weight of that calling drags them away and they are in isolation. And so they wake up with enchantment and they sleep with enchantment. In fact, sometimes they walk in the forest round the clock because there are some plants that don't appear until it's midnight. It's not every plant in the forest you see. There are certain plants that become visible at 12 midnight. And so the witch will be searching for those plants. That's why they are able to cure some ailment. And so when you have a particular challenge, they will tell you, this plant is deep in the forest, but it's at certain hour of the night that it appears. And only wise men are able to trace that plant, and they will wait for that time. When it is 12:01, the plant will come out, and they will catch it. If the sun begins to appear, the plant will vanish. All of those intelligence are the things they learn while working with those spirits. There are certain plants that they need to guide them on how to mix it. It's like soup. You don't start cooking with salt. It's a protocol. So they know how to mix the concoction in the right proportion in order to get the exact taste that the spirit will alight upon in order to create an impact. If you are working with that kind of delicate requirement, you won't have the luxury of watching a seasonal movie. But the average believer is controlled by lust. And his pastor helps him to call it a good life. And so he will never be bodied to find out the things that have eternal value. Even the ones who say they are ministers, they are distracted. Any dress fashion that comes out today, that's what all of us are wearing. Because we are monitoring the world to see what they will do so that we will take dressing. And we think we can grow. If you watch it, some of these medieval movies, they teach you kingdom lifestyle. That's why sometimes, if I sit down, I can come here for 7 days, the television will never on. If I want to look at the screen, it's because there is something I want to study that I don't have a book to study it. And so I know that these medieval movies are highly researched. And so when you sit down and you are looking at it, you are seeing the making of a kingdom. When I was watching Merlin, I was actually studying. The young prince stands up, he thinks he's a fighter. Meanwhile, everywhere he goes, the warlock must follow him. Because if he doesn't follow him, he will die. That means that kingdom is protected by the gift of the warlock. Because the spirit is jealous over that kingdom. And the reason they send that warlock is because they wanted the restoration of Albion. The day when witches will be permitted to practice their acts again. That's why they came, because the city is built on sorcery. And that city is what you call England today. And you will go to England and say you are coming to a civilized nation. The foundation is built on sorcery. How do you think they found that location? The point where time begins is in London. They call it the ground zero. That means they found the center of time. That's where you can find the reference of time. You can't set time correctly until you go there. That's the zero point where the universal clock is set. So they studied the earth. They knew where all of the gates and the codes are kept. And so they didn't just start that city because they found it. They started it because spirits led them there. And so when God sends you to that city, you want to speak English. A city built on governance and intelligence. Do you know what is at the foundation of Kenya? That thing is what regulates your appetite. You say, I like this. Who told you you like it? You are a slave of feelings. I like this kind of thing. That's why. Like what? You don't know the programs that warlocks and sages have written because of the intelligence of rulers of darkness. And so when God wants to take a city, he too will raise functionaries. So the functionaries God raises, one of them are the legislators. And so I want to share with you now, in another 40 minutes, the rise of the legislators. What it takes to become a kingdom legislator. Knowing that what we do, we have to uninstall what witches, warlocks, sages have done because of their partnership with principalities, powers, rulers, and spiritual wickedness. So this is not just reading a book and talking. This is a journey in the spirit. And so if you want to become a kingdom legislator, you will begin from the place of an intercessor. But you see, there's a difference between an intercessor and a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior or a man who prays is somebody that is taught the way of prayer, or somebody that has an encounter to start praying, or somebody that belongs to a praying people. And so prayer is added to his daily routine. But that you are praying or praying with a praying people does not mean you have become an intercessor. In fact, you can actually pray for people's needs. It still doesn't make you an intercessor, because every believer should pray for one another. Paul said, bear one another's burdens as you will fulfill the law of Christ. For you to become an intercessor, there are ground rules that must be perfected in your life. And there are six of those rules. Because I don't have time, I won't dig deep. Because this is a map. This is an atlas. I want to give you, you may need to hear the message again, write them out and grow and pattern your life. In another 5 to 7 years, you will be shocked what you become. If you are thinking I'll say 1 month, you are a joker. This matter takes years. Even me, I'm still growing and I've not gone far. Praise God. Christianity is a life. It's the motivational preachers and faith preachers that think is speak and take. Those ones are elementaries in God. If you want to journey in God, it's a life. The first foundational requirement of an intercessor is an accurate revelation of the provisions of salvation. And so an intercessor must know what he received in salvation. And primary amongst the things you have received in salvation is, number one, justification. Number two, eternal life. And number three, the Holy Ghost. If an intercessor does not have this foundational truth, he will grow and end up a prayer warrior. I'm telling you why many people pray, they are frustrated. In fact, they have so much energy. They are shouting, they are screaming, but their result is so little. And the height they are brought into is not very high. because of the deficiency in knowledge. Justification is a state in the spirit where God, by his sovereignty, proclaims over you that because you believe in Christ, you are not just forgiven, but you are declared not guilty and acquitted. So justification is a state above condemnation. An intercessor must know that because he is in Christ. That's why Paul said, our life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. An intercessor must know that he cannot be a victim. An intercessor must know that he is hidden in Christ and Christ in God. An intercessor must know that there is nothing the devil can do to him, not because of whatever he will do, but because of what Jesus has done. And so in the courts of heaven, because of the blood, the testimony of the blood, he has been declared forgiven. And he has not just been declared forgiven, he has also been declared not guilty. He has not just been declared not guilty, but he has been justified. That means he has been acquitted. If he knows this, then he will have faith to be able to stand in the gap for others. You cannot dare to go and stand that you are defending somebody else until yourself is assured of your own safety. Are we together? Imagine you are entering a country, your own document is not complete. You are now going to pray that the immigration should leave somebody else. They will look at you and say, you are mad. You are not qualified. You are saying we should leave. They will start dealing with you first. So an intercessor needs to know what Jesus has done for him. And what Jesus did for him culminated in justification. And so he doesn't carry guilt. He doesn't carry fear. And he doesn't carry condemnation. And then number two, he needs to know that he has the life of God. Because he has the life of God, he is in the class of God. This is why he can come into the company of God and make demands. A baboon can't come here and make demands. He's not in the human class. The reason you can make demands is because you are in the class of men. And so you can ask men for things. So he needs to know that he has eternal life. And eternal life imparts upon him the image of God. So he is in the class of God. And finally, he also needs to know that he has the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is his helper. Because the business is about to prosecute, if he is not helped, he cannot achieve it. These are the foundational revelation an intercessor must have. Many people think intercession begins with prayer. And they don't know anything about salvation. They don't know anything about the finished works of Christ. When they now go to place of prayer, demons begin to challenge them. And fear rises. Condemnation rises. And suddenly, the moment fear and condemnation rises, the devil knows that he has left his place. And the devil now begins to manipulate him. That kind of person will not be strong. And so you must know what has been done for you. And so most of you who want to become legislators, you need to go back and sit down and understand the gospel. Because you may pray into debt. I've seen people who pray and contended with certain spirits. And because of their ignorance, the spirits killed them. Because they don't know their rights in Christ. Prayer does not begin with prayer first. It begins with understanding. That's why every time Paul prayed for the church, he said that God may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 and 19. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. You must first of all have that revelation of who you are in Christ if you want to be a legislator. If not, every journey you make in prayer will be a risk. Number two, now that you know what God has done for you, you must correspond to it by living a certain kind of life. And so the second requirement of an intercessor is purity and holy living. Because you have to show that you are reasonable by presenting your body as a living sacrifice, before you can even come to demand hallowed matters. Every time an intercessor appears before the realm of God, there is always a need of sanctification and purification. Before the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, he must carry blood as a testimony of purity. In Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his train filled the temple. The moment he entered the courts of God, stop. One of the seraphims took the coals of fire and touched him and said, now your iniquity is purged. If your garment is not pure, you cannot carry intercession. You are justified, but you must prove it by living a holy life. Did you read in Zechariah chapter 3 from verse 1 to 6? He said the high priest stood. He said, but Satan was resisting him because his garment was filthy. And so the high priest was not permitted to do anything in that place. He is the high priest, but he couldn't carry legislation until a decree was made that let the filthy garment be taken from him. Many people want to do intercession and they are fornicators. They are liars. They think intercession is about, you will be cut off. This is not a joke. The jealousy of spirits is invested in this matter. And so if it is the way of intercession and legislation you are taking, you must commit yourself to a consecrated life to purity. If there is no purity, there can be no power. The structure of intercession is built on purity. A man that his garment is stained does not have the right to bring legislation in the courts of God. Number three, you must have brokenness and humility. He said, a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Psalm 51 verse 17. Thou shalt not despise. And so the reason the oracles of God are committed to you is because God looks into your vessel and he finds brokenness. Because the kind of power you want to invoke is not a power that can be committed to a proud man. It's a risk. Do you know what it means to have authority that when you speak, it affects the territory? And then you come with pride and full of yourself, and you think God will take the risk of giving you that power so that tomorrow anybody who offends you, you will kill him. Tomorrow you can become angry and say, I've labored over this city for 4 years. They have not honored me. Therefore, the gate of heaven is locked. And what you said in anger, because God has given you the authority, he will do. Because of that, God will not make the mistake of investing that kind of authority on you except he first of all sees genuine brokenness. In fact, if you are approaching God with pride, he is the one that will resist you. He said, God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. And so the third foundational requirement of an intercessor that will grow on this ladder is brokenness and humility. This one is not an act before people. This one is God trying your heart. He said, I, the Lord, I try the heart. I test the reins to give to every man as his way should be. When we talk pride, it's not just the boastful type of pride. There are two dimensions to pride. There is the boastful and arrogant dimension, and there is the subtle dimension. There are certain men that are quiet. You think they are very humble. It's a lie. Check their heart. While they are standing, they think they are better than everybody. They will never call themselves your pastor. They will say they are brothers. But the day you offend them, they won't forgive you. They will be so angry that they are offended. Then you now know that, this clock of humility is a charade. Because a man who can't forgive is a proud man. He exalts offense so much that he makes himself become like a god. So when you offend him, he's wondering, how dare you? Why were you not afraid? How did he enter your heart that you are able to think you can offend him? Because you are bold enough to think you can offend him, you must die. Meanwhile, that's somebody that acts like this. That is hypocrisy. And so that kind of pride is the most dangerous pride. Because it will take discernment for you to know that this is a very proud person. In fact, when they talk, you can pick it. 90% of what they say is about themselves. You now know that, oh, this man is bigger than God. God is too small in his heart. So many times it's about everything they say will be I. They will almost ascribe God's glory to themselves. And so when a man wants to rise in intercession, there must be brokenness and humility. I'm showing you why, because when the princes come, these are the things they will use against you. Because in the corridor of intercession, they deal with legalities. Hope you know that Jesus, the Son of God himself, the devil came to him. Those princes are not moved by fasting and prayer. Jesus fasted for 40 days. That's when the anointing should be volatile. In fact, when he entered the temple, demons began to scream, but not a prince. The prince came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Why was he not moved that Jesus was high under the anointing? They are not moved. The reason demons respond when you are high is because they are possessing bodies that are not theirs. So the moment you come with energy, they are cast out. A prince has his own body. He's a fallen angel. He's not possessing people. His territories he's looking for. Bow to me, I will give you the whole territory. He's a possessor of territories, not bodies. It's a demon that possesses bodies. So when you show up, because of intensity, the demon can't stay there anymore because it's an illegal occupant. He will run away. Not a prince. You can finish fasting for 40 days, a prince will come and tempt you with immorality. And so you must have purity as a weapon. You must have humility and brokenness as a weapon. Because where you want to enter, it's not demons that are there. It's princes that are there. Number four, you must have sacrifice. And sacrifice in this context is death to self. There is nothing anymore that is important to you. Because anything you hold on to, they will use it to bargain you. And so when you want to journey on this corridor, they will be checking that thing that you are affiliated to. That's why I was so blessed when Pastor Charles said yesterday that even their children, they've given to God. Because if they find out that you are attached to anything, they will use that thing to enslave you. And so any man who wants to be a priest must become a sacrifice. In fact, the heaviest molecule of priesthood is sacrifice. There's nothing you cannot not give. Be it money, be it your fame, be it your integrity. Anything you can give any day, anytime. When the spirit sees that you are beginning to approach this realm, that spirit becomes afraid of you. It checks you. Your consecration is towards purity. It looks at you. You are growing in humility and brokenness. He looks at you, anything you have, you give to God, he becomes afraid. Because he knows that a legislator is about to rise. This man is about to make himself a prisoner of Christ. And if this man succeeds in what he's doing, he's in trouble. That's why many times when God wants to raise these kinds of people, he begins to give them strange laws. He told Abraham, get out of thy country. Get out of thy kindred. Get out of thy father's house. Before Abraham ever created an altar, Abraham first of all was taught sacrifice. You have not known these things. That's why when I see people praying and shouting and doing things, I just laugh. If they know it, they will become more quiet. Because this thing will kill you. You have not reached a point where God demands all the money you have. You earn in a year. Not because you don't have personal projects. A whole year. He said, drop that money on the altar. This is not about give, it shall be given unto you. This is teaching you the way of death and sacrifice. You have not come to the point where every gift you receive that should add value to you and increase your reputation, God said, give it out. A point came in my life, I became afraid of receiving things. They give you money, God takes it. They give you a car, God take it. Anything you have. Did you not see the way he tempted Abraham? Not tempted, tried Abraham. After he banished Abraham out of his land, the moment Abraham began to succeed, The only thing Abraham prayed for 25 years was what God demanded. That means for 25 years, Abraham was not yet an intercessor. He was still a prayer warrior. He said, bring Isaac. And at that point, Isaac may be 8 years old. So after 25 years, Isaac came. 8 years later or more, that means over 30 something years of prayer, God now shows up and says, bring Isaac. It was when Abraham brought Isaac that God now said, now I know. What? I left my country, you didn't know. I left my kindred, you didn't know. I left my family, you didn't know. You must give the best thing until you reach that point where there is nothing you can withhold from God. He won't know you are ready. That's when suddenly the all-knowing God, the omniscient God, will suddenly begin to study you to know. Sacrifice. Find out anybody who is a priest. It is after that sacrifice is perfected that you will now enter the sacrifice of prayer, the sacrifice of praise, and the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Because these are the New Testament sacrifices. But for God to see the purity of your prayer, the purity of your praise, and the purity of your thanksgiving, He will know that this thing you are doing is not a manipulative stunt to get something in return. Because He has seen that everything you have, you are able to give and you have given. And so when a man begins to learn sacrifice, he is beginning to come into the corridor of intercession. If you don't know sacrifice, how can you go to the altar and pray for another family for 3 months? When your own children need food and money. It is only sacrifice that will teach you how to put yourself aside and stand in the gap for another person. And so if a man has not mastered sacrifice, he's not yet growing into intercession. Number 5 is stamina. This is not what makes you an intercessor. These are the foundational requirements that God checks before He recruits you into the ranks of intercessors. Stamina. Stamina is the ability to stay focused in God's presence until whatever it is God wants to do is achieved. And so if you are somebody who is praying, anybody that passes, you look. You are praying and then house rent is disturbing you. You are thinking of many things. Just pray, receive what you want to take and go. You are not coming for intercession. That's not the college of intercession. When God wants to drill you in prayer, sometimes you will be there for 7 hours before your focus is fine-tuned. And God will wait until you become focused. The moment you are able to begin to build focus, that's why I said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Effectual means productive prayer. And it's productive because it's single-eyed. And then it comes with intensity. He said that's the prayer that produces, that makes power available. There are many people who are praying. You can be here for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. They are turning everywhere. They have not traveled. They are still in this hall. It's their we they are using. When you enter into focus, the realm draws you. A point comes where you are no longer sensitive of the realm that you are praying from. You become sensitive of the realm you are praying to. Because what you want to do is to leap into that realm. And it will take your rapt attention, committed focus to be able to access that gate. And so when a man begins to perfect these things, then God can now admit him into intercession. And so when you have done these 5 things, then the 16 that happens, which is actually the admission into intercession, is burdens. Burdens. An intercessor does not pray prayers, he prays burdens. He is able to pick the burden in the heart of God, and it is those burdens he prays. When your prayer has come to a point where you can perceive the heart of God, you have become an intercessor. That's why I told you, an intercessor is not a man who prays. An intercessor is a man who prays from the realm of God. You can pray for 10 years, but you have never picked any burden from God. The reason we pray the way we pray is because of burdens. And so, it is those burdens that will separate you into different departments. So, why all of us are praying, building purity, building humility, bringing sacrifices, God will be watching. until a point comes, if God can trust you and commit himself to you, he may now give you burden for children. You will now discover that that burden will overwhelm you. Every time you kneel down, you can weep for the children of Kenya. Anything that happens to children will be an arrow to your heart. Even you will not know how it happened, because while you were journeying into God, he put that burden in your heart. That burden will now begin to define your personality. Every money you have, everything you call ministry, everything you call prayer will be centered around giving a future to the children. You are not praying for them because you love them. You are praying for them because a burden has impregnated you. It is that burden that becomes your badge as an intercessor. Sometimes as you press into God, you will not have burden for the government. The corruption and the suffering that people are going through will become a burden, because all of those things are in the heart of God. But the way God wants to prosecute it, the same way the demons and the princes put their operation in the heart of warlocks, God will now begin to share his heart cry to you. That's why you will know that God wants to see revival in Kenya. And so the reason you will be talking revival is not because everybody is preaching revival. The reason you will be talking revival is because when you touch the heart of the Father, it was that burden that he put on your heart. And so every time you pray and talk, it will be revival. The reason is because you are streaming a reality from the heights of the heavens. It is that thing that qualifies you as an intercessor. And so when you pray, it is God walking. You may press into God and then you tap into a burden against poverty. You don't know why the churches are poor, the Christians are poor. And so you begin to entreat the heavens that something will happen to create a paradigm shift in the life of Christians. That is also in the heart of the Father. But what the Father has done now is that he has shared his heart with you. And so the burden that is in the heart of God will become the burden that is in your heart. So when you see a man praying with intensity, it's not because he's young. When you see a man praying with intensity, it's the degree to which God is able to impart burden to his soul. And so sometimes you will pray and sweat, and the sweat may be like blood, because God has brought you into the depths of his burdens. A point will come, you will pray these burdens, you will not even have utterance, you'll start crying. You will start crying, and when you are not able to talk, the Holy Ghost will now take over and begin to groan through you. That's why I said the Spirit help it, because now God is putting a burden on you that your human limitations cannot allow you to prosecute it. So the Holy Ghost has to take over those burdens, because the Holy Ghost is the one that searches the heart of the Father. If you can function from the realm of burdens and receive signals from God, you have become an intercessor. And it will take a long time in prayer for you to reach that point where you are able to isolate a burden from the heart of God. It's very few people that bear the burdens of God. And so an intercessor is a burden bearer. Now, the burden God gives you, as you begin to prosecute it, you will now notice that the demons who were propagating that thing that God wants to stop will now find you. They will know that the reason they are beginning to receive resistance is because you are beginning to fight it. Because they may have access to afflict people with sickness until you now have burden for sickness. You now begin to counter the powers of sickness, counter the spirit of sickness. A point will come, the spirits will know that they are seeing resistances. So they will trace until they will find where that arrow is coming from. And so you move from burden, you enter warfare. So your intercession is beginning to mature, because your burden will attract the warfare. Because the immorality is not a lifestyle. The immorality is a spirit ruling over people. And now you have come to say, thy kingdom come. That's a statement of war. You are saying, no more immorality. And because you said no more immorality, what you are trying to do is that you want to break the dominion of the spirit of immorality. And so that spirit will not rest, because no spirit wants to be unseated. They will come for you and find out, why did you say so? Because when you say, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory will come, they will ask you, who is the King of glory? This is why God will insist that you have purity. This is why God will insist that you are humble. Because when you enter the realm of warfare and the spirits come, they will look for the limitation. But what God has done is that before you came to warfare, he has punished you already.
There's nothing you are holding on to. You are already a sacrifice. There's no lust in you. He has humbled you already. He has purified you. And so when the spirits come, they won't find nothing. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh to me, but he findeth nothing. That's an intercessor talking. Because before he entered warfare, he perfected sacrifice. He perfected purity. He perfected humility. And so when they came, they couldn't find nothing. Because bodies will take you to warfare. There is a spirit against immorality. There's a spirit of perversion. There's a spirit of immorality. There's a spirit of violence. Anyone that becomes your body, be ready for contention. Because bodies will take you to warfare. That's when you know you have become an intercessor. This is why you cannot be part of the trends of the world. Because you are fighting. They are looking for how to kill you in an accident. They are looking for how to ridicule your name until you don't have a voice. You don't have the luxury to be like every man. Every journey you go to, you must see the end of that journey before you start. Because you know that others can travel safely. You will travel by power. They will come. They will come in your dream. They will come in your journey. They will come to your office. They will come to your business. But when they come, you have there's nothing they find. You have become a creature of power. Everything you do is by the power of the Spirit. And so when they meet you on the road, you are ready. When they meet you in the dream, you are ready. When they meet you on the job, you are ready. Anytime they come, there is something raging on your inside. Because the kingdom of God has become a reality of your soul. Kelele, kakaya, bevaria tanis, kalura tataade, aveva la barana. Oh! An intercessor is not a common Christian. He's a warrior. He's a warrior. He's a warrior. He prosecuted body until he became relevant in the spirit. Demons know him. He said, Jesus will know. Paul will know. It's not only Jesus they know. They know those who bear the bodies of Jesus. Ah. You are not an intercessor because you call yourself one. You are an intercessor because you represent a body in the spirit. And so when they come, they look for the body bearers. Because the body bearers are the ones affecting their programs and their agenda. The body bearer is superior to the preacher. You can be preaching holiness, but if you don't pray holiness, your preaching means nothing. Because what they are doing is a demonic program. Only the man who prays can attack the foundation of that program. You can be preaching prosperity. If you don't pray prosperity, your message means nothing to them. And so the demons don't look for the preachers of holiness. They don't look for the preachers of prosperity. They look for the prayers of holiness. Where are the men praying holiness in that city? Where are the men praying prosperity? These ones want to scatter our program. If they pray, even if nobody preaches, it will happen. Because even an atmosphere can become an evangelist. And so the man preaching is not as important as the man praying. You can preach, nothing will happen, but if you pray, something must happen. It's better to pray and not preach than to preach and not pray. And if you are wise, you will both pray and preach. It's the making of legislators. God will teach you burdens. After God gives you burdens, burdens will take you to warfare. And then when you come to warfare, by all means, you will need signals and discernment. And so it's from burden to warfare to discernment. If you don't have discernment, you will be a victim. And so when God sees that your burden has been prosecuted until you have come into the gates of warfare, God will now open discernment to you. So you can see what the devil is planning and you can have an advantage over him. That's how sometimes you wake up, you want to travel, and then discernment will say no. The reason is because they have created a trap on the road, and today your faith level can't deal with it. And so you will call the person you are going to see, sorry, I can't come today. The person may be angry with you, but it's about life and death. That's why an intercessor is not interested in pleasing men. He's interested in pleasing only God. It may be a big conference, 10,000 people are gathered, sorry, I can't come today. Because there is something, there's a roadblock. My faith can't help me cross. So wait. The
The demons are waiting. You now not come. You now come to your office. They put a charm. And that charm is sensitive to sunlight. You now come to the office. You want to sit down. Discernment. Don't sit. Open the window. You now open your window. And the ray of sun will come on it. And scatter the charm. Sometimes if the window can't open, you now say sit outside. You now carry your chair from the office. And keep it outside and sit. When they look at you, they will know you are a wise man. That's when they will become afraid of you. At that point, you have become like the wind. And Jesus said, as the wind bloweth. He said, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. You come into a frequency of discernment that you become invincible to the demonic realm. And the reason is because you manage burdens. Burdens brought you to warfare. And God of necessity had to open the gates of discernment to you because of your safety. If these three things are happening to you, you have the right to call yourself an intercessor. Don't say you are an intercessor because you are praying. What are the burdens of God for Kenya that you carry? You may be a prayer warrior and not be an intercessor. An intercessor is a burden bearer. He's pregnant with the purposes of God. And because he's pregnant with it, the sign that he has approached gestation period is that demons will know. Because when he gives birth, demonic programs will be aborted. And because demons don't want their programs to be aborted, they will come for you. Either to kill you or to make sure you have a stillbirth. But an intercessor will know how to fight. He said, the Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. It's not a time to clap. It's a time to meditate and find out where you are. It's a season of sober reflection. We are talking about the rise of legislators. And this is not a gift. This is a growth. This is a making. This is a process. And only few men are able to journey this path. That's why I said the path of the righteous man is a narrow path. You cannot be a football fan and journey on this path. You can say something because you are supporting Ronaldo and die. Many preachers are not intercessors. That's why they have the time to argue football. How many soldiers who are in Afghanistan you see following football? That road you are walking can be a mine. But you need discernment at all times, so you can't be off guard. That young girl that is coming with hijab can be carrying a grenade. So at all times you need to be alert. The demands of discernment and alertness is so much that you won't have the luxury to be distracted. You can go to help a widow and she will stab you on the throat. And so at all times you must be alert because of where you are fighting. And as you keep fighting in the battle, you keep approaching the war front. And so the more you go, the more sensitivity is required. He said, no man that worried entangled himself with civilian affairs. There's nothing wrong in watching football, but it's civilian Christians that watch football. Those who are warriors and intercessors, they may look upon it once in a while, but they cannot be a fan. The luxury is too much, they can't afford it. There are some battles you will fight for a nation for 10 years. When will you take the break to watch football for a whole season? That's why preachers are many. Christians are even much more many. But legislators are few. And I tell you, in the whole of human race, only 10,000 were found to stand with Christ to fight on the last day. Only 10,000. There are some generations that not one be made. We will not be the same in heaven. But may God help us by the Spirit of grace to find our place. Sit down. I don't want to be tempted to truncate this teaching, because this is the first. There are four more. What's our time? We're out of time. You reign forever. Your name is evergreen. You are the wisdom before time is gone. You reign forever.
He said, as the wind bloweth. When will the Christians that are like the wind emerge? Men that the devil can't predict. They can't find you. He said, no man listeth from whence it cometh or whence it goeth. So are they that are born by the Spirit. Where would the people, the tribe, the race that are born by the Spirit emerge? And the sign that they are born is that they have become like the wind. The day the devil plants a charm that is sensitive to water, that's the day you will start praying for the rain. Even the devil will not know why. Why are you praying for the rain? Some wicked herdsmen came into Abuja to attack with weapons. And a friend of mine who is a prophet, they were praying. And God said, no, don't pray against the devil. Don't pray against herdsmen. Pray for rain. He said, the weapons they brought, if it starts raining, it will destroy it. And it rained in Abuja for almost 1 month. So it canceled the whole program. That's the wind. You are traveling with somebody. He's carrying a charm. They say he shouldn't talk until he gets there. You now enter the bus and say good morning. Your good morning now provoke him to say good morning. The charm was fall. All of that is intercession, but it's discernment at work. Discernment. Everything about you has become a weapon. So you become God's battle axe. God wants to fight. He carries you from his quiver. And some of us are long-range weapons. Others are short-range weapons. And so God can build a long-range weapon. You are fighting for Canada from Kenya. Because you take far distances. We are warriors. We are battle axes. We are supposed to be weapons in the quiver of God. And so when God needs a spear, he finds you. When he needs a grenade, he finds another. When he needs a pistol, he finds another. When he needs a double barrel, he finds another. And so we carry different shapes. Somebody has come. The moment he begins to pray in tongues, it's like explosives in the demonic realm. God is warring. Fighting the battles of Elohim. Because of the powers that we have sustained in the spirit. The alignment patterns that we have entered. So our soul become conduit pipes through which the oracles of God can flow into a generation. This is how we defy the strategies of darkness that builds demonic spirit cities. And we establish the dominion of God until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Warriors must emerge. Men that carry the burdens of God. Men that fight the battles of God. And men that are equipped with discernment. Through the tools of discernment, their utterances become weapons. Everything they touch is an attempt to steward dimensions of the spirit. And even when they speak, those words are legislation. Because they become laws over eternity. The Bible says, awake, awake, thou that sleepest. And Christ will give you light. You need to come into the baptisms of light. Because over and above the healing and the prosperity, there are realms in Zion. There are journeys in the spirit. Because there are dimensions we need to become. By beholding them, we sustain their texture. And so we represent those dimensions among men. Where are the overcomers? The legislators of the purposes of God. You reign forever. Your name is evergreen. The wind before time. Now, when you come to this level, where God knows you are a carrier of his burdens, able to battle in warfare, and equipped with discernment, then God begins to promote you. That's when you now become a guardian, because God will now use you to defend others. This is where people begin to ascend the cadres of authority in the spirit. A guardian is one who watches over people's systems and territories.
in Acts chapter 9, the Bible said Saul received letters from Jerusalem to go to Damascus and imprison the Christians. And he carried armies, carried letters, carried weapons to go and hijack Christians in that city. And the Bible said, as he was on his way, suddenly, Acts chapter 9 verse 4, he saw a light from heaven, and the light struck him. And Jesus began to speak to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Another Lord was introduced to him, and he said, "I am Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest." He said, "However, there is nothing I can do for you." He said, "Rise up, go into the city, you will be told what to do." That means this intervention was occasioned by a man. And that was when we understood that there are intercessors who watch over cities. And Jesus went to Ananias and told him that Saul was on his way to Damascus. He said, "Go lay hands on him that he may see. I have set him aside as an instrument I will use." And Ananias was bargaining with God how the salvation of Paul should come. And when he showed up eventually, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord that appeared to me, to you on the way, have sent me to you." So what it means is that Damascus is not saved because of the army. Damascus is saved because there was a guardian in Damascus called Ananias. And so when there are no guardians, territories will become porous. When a man begins to mature in intercession, what God does is that he gives him the authority to watch over people and to watch over cities. Did you read about Abraham? In Genesis 18, Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed. But Abraham was a guardian over Lot. And so God could not destroy Lot until he sought Abraham's permission. Because he was the one who gave him that authority. And he said, "The sin and iniquity of Sodom has come to heaven as a cry. I'm going there to destroy it." And Abraham began the job of guardianship. He said, "Far be it from it that the righteous God will destroy both the righteous and the unrighteous. What if you find 50 righteous men?" And he turned to Abraham. He said, "If I find 50 righteous men, I will spare the city." Meanwhile, the military are at the gate, thinking their guns is what is protecting the city. He said, "I'm sorry that I have to bring more entreaty before the God of heaven. What if you find 45? "If I find 45, I will spare the city." The man argued until 10 and stopped. If he argued to 3, Sodom would have been standing. Because a guardian is given the authority to preserve people and to preserve territories. As you grow in intercession, God will begin to wield territories to you as your inheritance. And so the reason the mountains of influence in different nations are porous is because we don't have intercessors that have the stature of guardians. And so if there's no guardians, wolves will come to devour. In Acts chapter 20 verse 29, Paul was about to leave the church in Ephesus, and he said, "When I go, the Holy Ghost is here, but when I go," he said, "wolves will come, wolves will come." That means Paul, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, was the one preventing the wolves from devouring the Christians. This is why cities will stand, systems will stand, nations will stand, families will stand, because guardians have risen. And so one guardian can be equal to a family. One guardian can be equal to a nation. There are certain nations today that are alive because guardians are spreading hands over them. Did you read about Samuel? When Saul wanted to destroy David, the Bible said David ran to Naioth in Ramah. He wanted to meet a guardian. And when he came, the whole of Naioth had a radar. If you are not for the will of God, you can't enter. And when Saul sent an army, the whole army prophesied and forgot why they came. He sent another team, they prophesied. Saul now stood up himself. He thought the army was foolish. When he came, he did not just prophesy. He tore his clothes and prophesied naked from night to morning. The safety of a people is tied to the guardianship. or the operations of guardians in that territory. A territory without guardians is porous. Because what keeps a territory is the operation of guardians. That a man will grow as a legislator until God will entrust a family to him. God will entrust a tribe to him. God will entrust a nation to him. These were the things that defined warriors in the days of old. They had power with God. Power, not just with men, but with God. What are you legislating over? Some of us, even our own family, we can't bring guardianship to our family. A hawk will come and take people and kill. And we stand up, we say we are apostles. When you grow as a guardian, God now makes you a custodian. A custodian does not just have authority to preserve. He now becomes a keeper of the secrets of God. And so what God does is that he doesn't save things in banks. He saves things with men. And so when God wants to hide something that is an advantage to men, he will now look for custodians. That's why you find certain people rise up and say, God sent me to bring deliverance to these people. God sent me to bring prosperity. They are custodians. There is something they have with God that helps them to improve the quality of the people. Because you can defend the people, but they will die in poverty. They will die in sickness. They will die in pain. Preservation is not just the ability to protect. It's also the ability to improve the quality of the people. And so when you grow from a guardian, you have to become a custodian. So when you prevent people from being attacked, you need to do something to improve the quality of their life. That one will take the secrets of God. The Bible spoke concerning Simeon in Luke chapter 2. God gave him a secret that the salvation of Israel is coming and he will not see death until he comes. And so the moment he saw Jesus, he said, now I can die. That means Simeon was alive because of the secret that he kept. There are many people that are carrying different secrets of God. When they are in your city, you are blessed. Because their presence there will make that dimension to find expression. There are those who are carriers of the secrets of healing. They are not just carrying the anointing for healing. They carry that heritage for a generation. And so if they are among men, the anointing will keep flowing. Because they are the proof that men of that age qualify to tap into that dimension. And so every dimension God gives to an age, there is somebody that will qualify to hold that dimension before others can operate that grace. He said he sent his word to Jacob, he lightened upon Israel. Israel is enjoying because Jacob is standing. When the custodian is taken away, that anointing will begin to shut down. Because it will be a sign that that generation no longer qualifies to participate and to partake of that dimension. We are not the same. If you are a student of church history, you will know that many things began to happen because some persons rose. It's one man that rose before evangelism became a television prospect. It's one man that rose before people started building mega churches. It's one man that rose before people started doing crusades in stadia. It's one man that rose before the healing anointing became commonplace. It's one man that rose before the church migrated from church rats to wealthy churches. Because when such custodians rise, it's an attestation in the realm of God that this generation is qualified to partake of this grace. Those men are not the symbol of the grace, but they are the qualification for that generation. Because every generation will have a constituency. Every generation or every constituency we have, people that represent them like legislators in the courts of God. They are called custodians. If they move, things will go wrong. David was old and weak. He went to battle. He was about to be slaughtered. One of the warriors quickly came and killed who wanted to kill David and said, from today, you will no more go to battle lest the light of God in Israel is put out. So the warrior knew that they are not winning battles because they are warriors. They are winning battles because David carried the covenant of preservation with God. If David goes, they will all be killed. That's why Jesus said, if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. The one who is the custodian, if he leaves, every other person will run away. He is the balancing of the equation. He is the symbol of that dimension. And so it's because of him that God can give liberty for a generation to tap into a grace. There are men carrying such secrets, but such secrets are not given to them as gifts. They are given to them as entrustments. And so when they are about to die, they will transfer it to another generation. This is why when Abraham wanted to die, he blessed Isaac. That is the heritage. When Isaac wants to die, he blessed Jacob. The heritage has to be transferred because it is the light of Israel. If it is put out, everything will go down. In every generation, as people grow in intercession, they become custodians. And so God hides things with them. There are people that are alive today. That's why men can freely and easily walk in the gifts of the Spirit. They have entreated God on behalf of that generation so much that God will now say, okay, because you say and you have buffeted the altar, we will release this grace to this generation. If the generation begins to abuse that grace, God will meet that man and say, I told you. You troubled us, we have released it. Now they are abusing it. That man represents that grace. He's a custodian. Many times you may never even know them. It's in heaven, they will show you why some things happened in your generation. Paul was writing to the church in Colossus in Colossians 4:12, and he said the reason that church is perfect is because of Epaphras. That means Epaphras is the custodian of Colossus. If Epaphras goes, with all the preaching in Colossus, that church will fall. They are called ranks in intercession. But before you can become a guardian, you must be trustworthy. God will try you with many secrets. Sometimes you are praying, God will show you that this prophet is a fornicator. He will wait to see what you will do. Instead of praying for that prophet to be restored, you will now meet everybody and say, forget all this fake prophet. This man is a fornicator. It means you can't handle the secrets of God. You can't. Sometimes you'll be praying, God will show you the diabolic things that some people are doing. He didn't show you to make you a new scatter. He showed you so that you can fight for restoration. And so instead of fighting, you now become a talker. You are telling everybody about the secrets of everybody. Sometimes as you are praying, you will come to a point where men will run to you and tell you their problems and their secrets. The moment they go, you call the next person and say, can you imagine? This person that all of you are talking about, see his life. You can't qualify to be a guardian because you can't handle secrets. Nobody knew that Simeon was the reason why Jesus came until the day he saw Christ. He said, now my eyes have seen the salvation of God. I can depart in peace. You will fear God enough to keep his secrets. He said, the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. He will show them. Those are custodians. It's not everybody. That's why we are not growing. We are petty. We are full of ourselves. We are envious and we are competitive. And so God wants to raise you. You are praying. He opens your eyes to see something. You become a broadcaster. You will never become a guardian. And when generations are growing into maturity, the reason you find some men have so much honor is not because of the kind of message they are preaching. It's because of who they have become in God. They are guardians. When you see them, there is an honor they will carry that will make you be. You just want, you will be afraid of them. Because those secrets impart honor, glory and dignity in the spirit. But you will grow and qualify to be a guardian. These are legislators. When a guardian prays, his authority is superior to an intercessor. A guardian doesn't need to fight. An intercessor may need to pray over a matter for 4 weeks before it happens. If a guardian speaks because of what he carries, that thing can happen in a moment. So if we are growing as legislators, we need to grow in authority. That authority is what will make it easy for us to bring the kingdom of God. And so you have to move from an intercessor who is a warrior into a watcher who is a preserver, into a guardian who is a preserver, and then into a custodian who is a keeper.
Do you see why our Christianity is not so powerful? Because we are not taught these things. Pastors gossip pastors, lie against pastors, and they want to speak for principalities to respond. Even the sage in that city, you can't stand him. Because he understands covenant much more than you do. Covenant. If a demonic person holds hands with you and enters a covenant, he will keep it for his lifetime. Not a Christian. Somebody who tells you he's praying for you, the day he knows something that is wrong with you, it will be broadcasted. He will tell somebody, don't tell this person. This one will tell this person, don't tell this person. And the demons are looking at the porousness of our hands. Meanwhile, the person you told not to tell somebody has told somebody and told the person not to tell you. That's what you are not aware of. Custodians. Maybe I should stop here. Because I wanted to talk about the watcher and the judge. The watcher has the right to judge people. If you study Daniel chapter 4, verse 13 and 17, when judgment was brought against the king, he said, this is the decree of the watchers. Now, when you become a watcher, you begin to operate in the rank of angels. Because a watcher can be a man, and a watcher can be an angel. You can make a decree, and you can release judgment over people. Hope you know there are angels that judge. When Gabriel came to Zacharias and told him, in Luke 1 from verse 17 to 20, of the glad tidings, and he doubted him, he said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. I brought you this glad tidings and you doubt. He said, you will be dumb until the day of their manifestation. So a watcher has the authority to judge. That's why Peter, when he went to Samaria, he judged the sorcerer. In Acts 13, I think from verse 11, when Paul was preaching to the government official, and but Jesus came to thwart it, he said, the hand of God is upon you. You will be blind for a season. That's a watcher. He has authority to judge. Because a watcher has superior authority to a custodian. A custodian has superior authority to a guardian. And a guardian has superior authority to an intercessor. If we want to be legislators, we must keep growing. Because darkness is also growing. There is a sage that can come into your city, and we walk around that city for 3 days. And when he leaves that city, there will be national crisis. A war can break out because of what he did. He will not talk to anybody. He will just walk around that city and release confusion and chaos in the atmosphere. Everybody will be so volatile and angry that two families can start quarreling. And the quarrel between two families, one will kill the other. The other will kill the other, and it will break into a tribal war. Because a sage came into that village and released something. The same way, if a judge walks into a territory, he can cause affliction. He can cause demons. And he can cause anything that is causing confusion with one word. And he can shut down darkness over a city by talking. We cannot be legislators until we grow on these cadres. Because there are many battles that not long prayers will handle it. It's command that will handle it. And so that battle is superior to an intercessor. You will need a watcher to come on the scene. Because no matter how long the intercessors pray, nothing will happen. You will need a watcher to come and stand. And on the strength of what he has with God, he will say something. The moment he speaks, that matter will end. Is the rise of legislators. Then finally you have a judge. A judge is a carrier of the laws of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15, the Bible said, when Moses is read, the laws of God became the law of Moses. Say, when Moses is read. So Leviticus is Moses. Numbers is Moses. Genesis is Moses. That man has become a judge. Because he's a judge, he can operate
as a watcher, he can operate as a custodian, he can operate as a guardian, he can operate as an intercessor. Because the judge is the highest rank among men. He becomes the law of God to a people. When a judge shows up, anything he says will impact that territory for many years. In fact, his words will become the philosophy of the people. He has become the law of God. Moses became the law of God. He's a judge. He said, when Moses is head. Now, when a man like that comes into a city, he doesn't intercede. He gives commandment. Did you notice that when Moses went to Egypt, he was not praying? He will come to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. The God of the Hebrew have sent me. And Pharaoh will say, who is he? He will say, okay, by this time tomorrow, there will be frog in all the land. And he will go away. That's a judge. He's a lawgiver. He will come back again. Pharaoh will call him and beg. He will now say, okay, because you have begged. He is not the one begging. He's the king that is begging. Because you have begged, the frogs will go tomorrow. And he will go. The frog will go. Pharaoh will now add in his heart. He will come back again. The God of the Hebrew have sent me. Let my people go that they may serve me. I will not let them go. Okay. By this time tomorrow, there will be lies. He will now go. Lies will now come into the city. He will go and be doing his thing. Whatever it is, he will be doing it. When they can't bear it, they will now beg. He will now come back. And Pharaoh will beg. Okay, because you have begged, they will leave tomorrow. Pharaoh will refuse. He will still come back. The last time he came, he said, you will not see me again. That's a judge. You will not see me again. This is the last time I am coming. I've given you 9 laws and you refuse to keep them, so you will not see me again. Meanwhile, every firstborn child of this land will die. He left. And that night, both men and beasts, all the firstborn children died. The Bible said there was weeping and lamentation in Egypt, and it has never been heard up to this day. And it was in the midnight that Pharaoh said, go with everything. There was a time when Pharaoh said, you can go with the men, you won't go with the women. He said, no, not even a hoof will be left. Pharaoh said, okay, you can go with the women and children, but you won't go with your cattle. He said, will not leave a hoof. A hoof is the soul of the camel. Will not leave anything behind. Pharaoh now said, go with everything. And he left. When they were coming, they now saw the Red Sea. Moses turned to God, and God said, why are you praying? You are not an intercessor. Stretch your hand. You are a judge. You are not an intercessor. Why are you praying to me? And Moses turned. When he stretched his hand, God blew his nostrils. Because Moses was the one who told us what happened. He said, with a blast of his nostril, he parted the Red Sea. Do you know what happened there? The Red Sea is many feet deep. So even if the water stops, it will be a pit. So it was not only water that stopped moving. The earth grew out. You don't know who a judge is. The earth grew out. And they walked past. When the Egyptian wanted to walk, he turned back and the water closed. That's a judge. He's not an intercessor. He's a lawgiver. And the church must grow to this level. If we will be able to be lawgivers who are legislators, and if we will be able to enforce law who are litigators. An intercessor, a guardian, a custodian, and a watcher is a litigator. A judge is a legislator. He gives laws to cities. I want to pray for you now. I don't know what your pursuit is, but beyond miracle, there are places in Zion that men need to come to.
Ebenezer. Ebenezer. Ay, 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 ay. Ebenezer, my help has come. Ebenezer, Ebenezer,
do you know that you truly become a full grown man in the spirit when you become a judge? That was where men like Paul came to. When Paul was done writing and preaching, he called what he preached my gospel. The gospel of Jesus became Paul's gospel. He said, my gospel. That's a judge. The same way the laws of God became the laws of Moses, the gospel of Jesus became the gospel of Paul. He called it my gospel. Even Peter had to make reference to the writings of Paul. And he called them scriptures when they have not started gathering scriptures. Because those are the laws of Elohim. I don't know what men pursue now. We are too distracted. Pursuing what the devil can take. Whereas there is a place you need to get to in God and become something in God. In 1 minute, ask God to help you.
My help has come. My help has come. My help has come. Ebenezer, Ebenezer,
you know, there were many windows that opened while I was teaching, but there are certain things that are more important than move of power or gift. That's why I didn't bother myself when people were shouting and screaming. This one is a making process. And it begins first of all with submission of your will. So that's where I'm coming to. Not impartation this morning. You're here this morning. I told you that this business is not for crowd. If you are here this morning and you have checked yourself, you know that you have submitted your will to distraction, to sin, and to diverse things. But today, you want to ask God to help you to grow in Him. Because these things, at least before you leave this world, at least become a guardian. Watch over a family. Let a family succeed and be preserved because you are alive. At least. Maybe you will not grow enough to be a guardian over a nation, but at least a family. Or let there be a secret of God that He kept with you. That a mystery dwells on your inside. You embody it. Or become a watcher. Where when God wants to do something, He sends you there. You are like God's commissioner. That's who angels are. They are high commissioners, angelos. They are watchers. Or you become a judge. By all means, be something in God. And today you want to say, Lord, I surrender everything. I want to grow in you. If you are in that category, come to the altar. Spirits work with you from the point of your commitment. Not your emotion, commitment.
Oh, my help has come. My help has come. Ebenezer.
This is not the time to back up. This is the time to make commitment. This is not the time to back up. If you need to make commitment, go and make commitment. Hear me. God is interested in numbers because the glory of the king is in the multitude of the people. But God doesn't work with numbers. If you study the ministry of Jesus, almost all the time, you hear that the multitude followed him. He selected 500. Out of 500, he selected 120. Out of 120, he selected 70. Out of 70, he selected 12. And even among the 12, he gave certain authority to 3 and then to 1. You are the one who will determine where you are. And so as the Holy Ghost ministers to you now, make your choice. Surrender to him. Surrender. Let yokes break. Let corruption break. Let powers break. Let programs break. Let manipulations break. Let the soul enjoy liberty. Liberty for the first time. Bahela haiti. Epafila hariata kibak. Verele farina hada. Shabak jadadina halatibai. Yeka setalish. Help has come. Strange things are happening to people. Some of you are entering the gates of encounters. Some of you, bondages are breaking off. Some of you, new programs are being written for you in the courts of heaven. On ground, on life.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.